Primarily, so far, we've been discussing the personalities and the activities of Lord Chaitanya and his associates, contemporary and just after. Certainly one of the glories of Jagannath Puri as a transcendental dham is that in Jagannath Puri, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made his appearance. So the appearance place of a great acharya is certainly noteworthy, and we'll spend our time this morning discussing Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his life and our indebtedness to him. This morning we'll be visiting the place where he was born, very close to here, and also the home of Bhakti Vinod Thakur while he was engaged in government service here in Jagannath Puri. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born in February of 1874, and his name given was Bimal Prasad. And even from his time of birth, the very clear understanding was that he would be a great, great personality. When Prabhupada spoke about Bhaktisiddhanta, he would often use two general references. One was to say that, what can one say, he was a Vaikuntha man? And one of the reasons for saying that, of course, was his character, but also that his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, something in the same mood as Advaita Acharya, calling for the descent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with fervent appeal to the Supreme Lord, requested to send a direct representative of his from the spiritual world into this world in order to check the rapid deterioration of the good qualities of mankind, understanding Kali Yuga is rapidly advancing. Kali Yuga is rapidly advancing. And as powerful as he was, he wanted the Supreme Lord to send his direct representative, and he understood that Bimal Prasad was the answer to that prayer. Araya Vishnu, so his biography is written like that. Araya Vishnu. Bhakti Truswami shared this little item with us. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta wrote something of an autobiography about himself. And in that autobiography, he mentions one of his brothers, because he was the fourth son out of 10 children, son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his mother Bhagavati Devi. So he wrote in relation to one of his brothers that they regularly would have disagreements. Brothers do that sometimes. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we have this disagreement because in our previous lives we were both followers of Ramanujacharya, and we had some disagreement then, and this is a continuation of that disagreement. No explanation, just some statement like that. So in any case, the astrologer that performed his astrological chart. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the chief magistrate, he had access to the best. And the astrologer said, I've done countless numbers of charts in my lifetime, but I've never seen anything like this. Very clearly from the chart and from the bodily symptoms, he has all 32 symptoms of a Mahapurusha in his body, and his chart is, I've never seen. He surely will be a great spiritual leader and reformer in his time. And so it was. Prabhupada liked also to describe that when he was born, very unusual physical marking as his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like a Brahmin thread. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood, this is the Lord's answer to my prayer. And at the time of his grain ceremony, so born in February, in July, 6 months, was the Rath Yatra. The Rath Yatra cart of Lord Jagannath stopped right in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house and wouldn't move for 3 days. 3 days. Imagine what that Rath Yatra was like. Anyone here been to Jagannath Rath Yatra? 3 days, the cart wouldn't move. Pandemonium. Anyway, and because you've seen pictures how crowded it is, because it was, he was the such a high-ranking government officer, his wife, Bhagavati, and a very respected member of the Puri community, had the privilege to access the grain ceremony being performed right at the feet of Lord Jagannath. And as the small child was placed there for the grain ceremony to be performed, one of Jagannath's garlands came loose and fell and circled right around Bimal Prasad. And everyone understood. This is confirmation. Great soul, receiver of the mercy of Lord Jagannath. So, as the pure devotee that he was, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understand, this is the person who Lord Vishnu has sent. The character of the small boy, think of some small boy that you know that's in the time frame between 2 and 3 years old, and then think of this little exchange. There was an offering to be made to their family deity. And one of the items to be offered was a mango. And Bimal Prasad ate the mango before it was offered to the deity. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard this from his wife. And so in a very mild tone, he admonished his son. My dear boy, this is a very bad thing you have done. You've taken that which was meant for Thakur, the Lord. Not good. So he declared, the little boy declared, I am a great offender. How to atone for such an offense, I do not know. But for the rest of my life, as an offender, I will never again take mango. 2 or 3 year old boy. And for the rest of his life, he didn't take mango. Prabhupada says, in his presence, he saw some disciples offering mango to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, I cannot, I am an offender to the Lord. I cannot take mango. Dridhavrata, undeviating, a child, you know, but not just a child, a transcendental personality. When Bhaktisiddhanta was just 10 months old, infant, Bhaktivinoda Thakur made an arrangement for him to travel all the way from Puri to Calcutta with his mother, Bhagavati, carrying him on a lap, on her lap, as she was carried in a palanquin, all the way from Puri to Calcutta, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur was making some arrangement for residence. When he was just 7 years old, there was some excavation being done by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for some residential facility. In the earth, or from the earth, came a Kurma deity. Very prophetic. From the earth came a Kurma deity. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave this Kurma deity to his son, and for his whole childhood and teenage and young adulthood, he worshipped this Kurma deity. This was when he was 7 years old. And when he was 7 years old, he had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. Now, we have programs at our temples where kids learn Bhagavad Gita slokas, and they get up in front of the temple and they recite the slokas, and everybody's... He memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. And not only, Prabhupada explained, not only had he memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita, now what is 1834 Bhagavad Gita, he would recite it. Can you explain it? Ask children that have memorized verses, can they explain the verse? But 10-minute dissertation on any verse of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Think about it. Not ordinary. In his school days, he was, as one can only imagine, the best student in everything, but no one ever saw him studying. But whenever called upon in class to answer something, he had the best answer. He was the topmost student, but he never studied. Whatever he heard in class, he understood it completely, and in his own time, he would read the books of Raghunath Das Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur's songs, and because he had already memorized Bhagavad Gita, so he had a very, very strong devotional inclination. That's where his energy went. He wrote his first book when he was a teenager. Anybody attempt to write some papers for school, you know, like you have to write a term paper or something like some project like that. He wrote his first book as a teenager. And the book was Siddhanta Shiromani, and it was a treatise on astrological calculation. And I know that Sariputta has used that book because it's highly mathematical, and I don't know much about astrology, but the little bit that I know is that there are algorithms, there are slight changes over a period of time that require adjustment, and he did all the mathematical calculations to show how the algorithm needs to be changed precisely in which way, and all detailed calculations. Teenager. And at the school that he was attending, they gave him this title that stayed with him for his life. Siddhanta Saraswati. Later it became Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the name that he accepted when he accepted sannyas. Later on, he just dismissed the whole field of astrology as something worldly, and his interests were otherworldly. So there's lots of people out there competing for the worldly. He was at the top of the worldly and just dismissed it. When he was 11 years old, his father took him on tour of the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Later, when he was a teenager, his father took him on tour in South India of various Vaishnava temples. 11 years old and teenager. Those experiences later became the subject matter of books, because he wasn't just a tourist going tagging along with his father. Because he was the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had access that some persons don't have, and when they would go to the different mutts, he would sit with the learned scholars and inquire from them in details about their worship, their practices, the details of their worship. And later, in a very large volume, it was like an encyclopedia of Vaishnavism. I mean, think about that, of Vaishnavism. You know, just here in Puri, we've seen so many things in the name of Vaishnavism. An encyclopedia of Vaishnavism. The language, terminology, the meanings, encyclopedia. Prabhupada said, Bhakti Siddhanta was sometimes considered like that, a walking encyclopedia. When he published this Vaishnava encyclopedia, the scholars who read it said that it would take 15 to 20 scholars, practically their whole lifetime, with the treasury of a king and about 30 assistants, just to edit the book. Because editing means everything has to be exactly so. And the experiences were just from his tours with his father and other ventures here and there. Powerful. Hope you get the picture. Powerful personality. Even just from a worldly perspective. Powerful personality. When he was still a teenager, he formed a sabha of Chiran Kumara Sabha, like a brahmachari ashram, a vow of lifelong celibacy. He didn't have a lot of members of that group, but he was very strong in that principle. And throughout his life, he maintained that principle strictly, uncompromisingly. But that propensity was there. When he completed his earlier schooling, he enrolled in college at 18. And after a few years of college, he then started to understand that if I complete college, those of you that are from India, you know what that means. Some talk of marriage starts. So he decided he wasn't going to complete college. He became a college dropout. And he took up a post of being a librarian for the king of Midnapore. And because he had this incredible appetite for learning and reading, and he had a didactic memory, that is, whatever he read, he could remember verbatim anything he ever read. He read the whole library and memorized the whole library. Not because he was, okay, let me try to see. He just had that kind of, he had that capacity, that gift from Krishna. And later in his writings, as he was writing something about Vaishnavism, from sometimes he would quote James, and he would quote this one and quote that one. And verbatim, quote unquote, from books that he read when he was 18, 19, 20 years old. Incredible power and capacity. when he just turned teenage, his father gave him Japa Mala, instructed him to chant the Maha Mantra, and gave him Nisringa Mantra to chant, which he continued lifelong. He was, in addition to writing his book, Siddhanta Shiromani, he wrote many articles for his father's publications. His father trained him, because his father, Bhaktivinoda, it's one thing to write a book, it's another thing to publish a book. His father was involved in publishing as well as writing. So he got trained by his father how to edit. Just had a conversation when we were in Mayapur with Jayadwaita Swami about the need for training editors for the BBT. They have this whole Sanskrit academy, and that's great. They're going to translate lots of stuff, and they're going to need editors. And it's a whole other thing, translating, editing, and that's just part of publishing. Just part. He did the whole thing. Powerful, powerful Vaishnav. Trained by a pure devotee, Vaishnav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was a visionary for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had similar vision, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. When he was being appreciated for his scholarship, he said, these things are secondary. You want to give me some honor for something, but my life is devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these other things, they're secondary. They're of no real consequence to me. So when he was just 24 years of old, years of age, by that time he was in Navadweep. His father, this is 1898, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was now living in we visited when going to Puri, just across the Jalangi River, and Svananda Sukhada Kunj. So while residing there, Gorkishore Das Babaji Maharaj came from Vrindavan at the encouragement of Jagannath Das Babaji, because Jagannath Das Babaji and Gorkishore had associated together in Vrindavan. In fact, the Babaji initiation of Gorkishore was from a Babaji disciple of Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhagwat Das Babaji. So Jagannath Das Babaji encouraged him, please come, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been discovered. So he came. It's a really beautiful description of the meeting of the two for the first time. Gorkishore Das Babaji was renunciation personified. So he came all the way from Vrindavan wearing one cloth and having nothing, no other clothing, no suitcase, no luggage, no big deal. His japa mala around his neck, another set of mala upon which he used for counting, and the rest of his possessions consisted of a tiger skin cap, which he had been given by Bhagwat Das Babaji, and some articles for worship, and a few books, like two or three books. This means handwritten books. The prayers of Narottam Das Thakur. And as soon as Gorkishore Das Babaji saw Bhaktisiddhanta, He became very, very happy. Just seeing him, first time. And immediately he gifted him his tiger skin cap, a set of beads. It wasn't beads, it was cloth with knots instead of beads for use for chanting. And some of the articles for worship, just gifted them to him. And there was such strong attraction between the two, and yet such contrast of their capacity. Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj was not a learned fellow. He was from Bangladesh, trained as in a Vaishya family and as a grain merchant. Never did the kind of studies that Bhaktisiddhanta had. Did not exhibit the capacity for scholarship that Bhaktisiddhanta had, but had deep realization of the conclusions of the scriptures, and was strong in those conclusions. Bhaktisiddhanta was strong in those conclusions, but had this incredible scholarship capacity, and their attraction was an instant, very, very meaningful. Both appreciated the genuineness of the other, because during the time of when the two of them met, there were many, many, many deviated sampradayas, and persons taking and imitating the dress of a Babaji and behaving in abominable fashion in the name of whatever it was, spiritual elevation. And both were very disturbed by that, but both were genuine, pure Vaishnavas. So Bhaktisiddhanta's natural attraction for Gaur Kishor was encouraged by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. A point of etiquette is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur indicated it would not be it's not appropriate for a father to initiate his son, but one who is qualified can initiate his son. And so he directed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to seek initiation from Gaur Kishor. And when he was approached in that way, there was this attraction between the two, but Gaur Kishor was unwilling. His response was, "I have to ask Mahaprabhu." And then later, second time, his answer was, "Mahaprabhu hasn't given his answer yet." The third time, the classic third time, they were standing on a bridge overlooking a ravine, and Bhaktisiddhanta very sincerely, not just blah blah blah, but very sincerely, compellingly, said to Gaur Kishor, "If I don't take initiation from a qualified spiritual master, how can I advance in spiritual life? Better that I give up my life." Looking over the edge into the ravine. And it wasn't just words, it was his deep sentiment. Reluctantly, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj accepted, based on the sincerity and the qualification of his disciple, and didn't accept another disciple. It's a very interesting description. Some years later, during the time that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was engaged in his Namvrata, we'll just go back to the chronology, but so some number of years later, some like 7 years later, one young man, the son of a very famous person, came to him requesting initiation. And he gave the story that he had gone outside of the safe path and was associating with the bowels, one of the 13 Upasampradaya folks. And of the bowels, there was the guru and his wife who this young man was instructed he should call mother and father. And he was, on the one hand, attracted by the sahajiaism that they were presenting, but the other hand, he also felt it was not right. And he left that association for some time to go to Navadvipa, and he heard. This is while this 1 billion names vrata was taking place in Navadvipa. He heard Bhaktisiddhanta speaking. He not only chanted 300,000 names a day, or 3 times 64 rounds a day, but he had time to give Bhagavatam class. And when he heard him speaking, Bhaktisiddhanta was so strong on this point of the, as he heard from his father, and as Gorkishordas Babaji Maharaj also was very deeply disturbed, he spoke very, very strongly about what the real teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and what misdeed the deviations were doing to the good name and the pure message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he stayed and he heard for some time from Bhaktisiddhanta. And then he went back to the bowel community. And then this young man had a dream. He informed Bhaktisiddhanta, I had a dream in which the guru took the form of a tiger, his wife took the form of a tigress, and they came charging at me, ready to devour me. And then suddenly you appeared, and you were carrying a stick, and you spoke very strongly, please leave the soul alone. Let him come to the path of pure devotion. And you grabbed me by the hand when we're dragging me to Mayapur. And then the dream broke. And I understood. The preaching that you were making was rescuing me from being devoured by this deviated way of life. And so I want to seek your shelter. Please give me initiation. Just a young man. Brahmachari. And being so moved by the drama of the situation, he accepted. And this was a very strong impetus for him for preaching. Just like we find in Chaitanya Bhagavat, the strong feeling that the Vaishnava community had of how this bountiful resource that Navadvip represents, opulence, knowledge, piety, brahminical position, but people are misusing it in such a bad way. This pains the heart of a devotee. It's impetus for preaching. Bhaktisiddhanta's life demonstrates that. And he didn't just feel it. He did something. So now in between his initiation, during that period of time, when the time he met Gorkishordas Babaji, which is 1898 until his initiation in 1900, he came here. So that his Bhaktivinoda Thakur was moving back and forth between Navadvipa and sometimes visiting in Puri. He came with his son to visit Puri. The description is they spent some time at Tota Gopinath temple, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur became inspired and wanted to establish his Bhakti Kuti, which we visited already. So they stayed for some time constructing Bhakti Kuti, and we know Bhakti Kuti is practically across the street from the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur. Picture that in your mind. Just so close. And so at that time, when you go in the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur. There's his Samadhi, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's altar, and Advaita Acharya's altar, and over in the corner is this other place. The Babaji at the time, Radharaman Charana Dasa Babaji, had these two practices that both Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta were trying to persuade him to give up in the name of being a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted the Hare Krishna mantra, not this other Rasabhasa mantra. But to establish his own thing, like the barber asked me, what sampradaya are you from? Your own? Radharaman Charana had his own, although saying in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made up his own mantra, and that's what they chant today. Different mantra. And then his chief disciple, Jai Gopal Das Brahmachari, dressed as a gopi, put him in a sari, and, you know, moving around Puri as, you know, he's in training to become the attendant of Lalita Sakhi. Sakhi Beki. That's nowhere in Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And it doesn't even make sense. It's not how spiritual realization comes. And when one has spiritual realization, one doesn't like the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were in that Madhurya Bhava, but they didn't dress as gopis and so forth. It was a clear, gross disturbance and deviation. So they spoke to encourage him otherwise. But it continued. They had some exchanges, proximity. There was exchanges. But this man was very, very popular. So what did that do to the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta? He wanted to preach. So it moved from the position of just having dialogue with the person to then speaking publicly. This is not Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And it was making a hoopla, a big uproar in Puri. You know, this side, that side, sentiment and knowledge. So at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommended to his son, I think it's best if you go to Mayapur, peacefully chant Hare Krishna. So he, okay, I'll peacefully chant Hare Krishna. 1 billion names. His biographers describe that exhibition was primarily showing two things. One, he was preparing himself the purification or tapa to take up this missionary spirit. And before, so it's an important lesson or understanding for us and our progress in spiritual practice. When we want to take up some important undertaking, some kind of purification, some kind of preparation, some kind of bringing greater quality, purity, transparency, so that we can do the activity that we are feeling inspired to do or instructed to do with real purity. So he did that. 1 billion names. 192 rounds a day for 5 years, every day, without fail. One little episode that really sticks out in my mind. There's a picture of Bhaktivinoda Thakur sitting in a grass hut that had a leak in it during the rainy season, is sitting there with an umbrella. You know, with water coming down, it's a mud floor and it's all muddy, and just sitting there in a chair with his umbrella. chanting. He was recognized, one can only imagine, like Haridas Thakur was recognized. He's just in his 30s. So from like 30 to 35 years of age, in that time frame, it was this vrata. Not an elderly person, not a sannyasi, brahmachari. A brahmachari, 35-year-old brahmachari. He was recognized by everyone as a great saintly person. So they came to him and said, please let us fix a proper place for you to stay. And his reply was, "What? This is not so important. This is only temporary. I'm quite happy to sit under the umbrella and chant peacefully." But at the same time, this exchange with this young man that had this dream or this experience with the Baal Sampradaya, this Hajiya Sampradaya. I must preach. And so he was also showing, the second thing the biographers indicate, is that it showed that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was qualified like a Babaji. A Babaji means beyond the Varnashram system. Brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, four ashrams. Babaji is outside of or beyond those four ashrams, like the Goswamis. They weren't any one of the four ashrams. They were Goswamis. And they had the qualification. And the descendants following them didn't have the qualification, but were imitations. And that brings deviation. So the same message as yesterday, the Chota Haridas message. Be genuine. Strive for purity and be genuine. No duplicity. Be genuine. So he was demonstrating that he had that capacity. Something like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his childhood Leela. He was the super scholar. Defeat everybody left and right and sideways, coming and going. They would run when they saw him coming. Bhaktisiddhanta similarly showed he had that capacity of purity, sustained over a period of time. And yet he came from that position and accepted the sannyas ashram, which means regulated by the vidhis, the rules of sannyas, in order to preach. Just like descending from the, as a ray of Vishnu, to come here to answer Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, to preach. And so he showed by perfect example. Gorkishordas Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur both encouraged him, in fact instructed him, to take up this preaching mission very seriously. And then they both departed from this world around the same time, and that's when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took up his preaching mission very vigorously. And for some years, headquartered at Chaitanya Math, the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, presently in Navadvip Dham, we can go there and see the house where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur resided and started his preaching mission. And such a powerful acharya. He was known as Nrisingha Guru. As he did when he was in childhood, he was well known for debate. Part of his sadhana, Prabhupada described this, in every morning he had a veranda on his house and he'd pace back and forth on the veranda and for half an hour pose arguments and defeat the arguments, the counter argument to those arguments and defeat those arguments, because who could defeat Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? before this happened, before he took sannyas and began his preaching mission, was in 1911. He was now in his mid-30s. There was this, not the deviated sampradaya, but the smarta brahmana community that had issue with the Gaudiya Vaishnava practice, and in particular with the Panchatrika system. The Panchatrika system. There's two systems within the Vedas, the Vaidika system and the Panchatrika system. The Panchatrika system is the system that Ramanujacharya used. It's a valid Vedic system. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used. And it's especially appropriate, as the other is not appropriate, for the age of Kali. Because the Panchatrika system, found in the line of Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, taking scriptural references from the Vedas, describing how through proper process of Panchatrika initiation, one can become qualified beyond the limitations of guna, karma, and janma. One can become fixed in a transcendental position, and in that fixed transcendental position become qualified to perform brahminical activity. So the smartas were saying, not so. Yes, there's something that's of benefit by the Panchatrika system, but one is not qualified to worship Shalagram Shila, what to speak of Gangamata Goswamini, a woman. But anyone that's not Brahmin-born, even if given this Panchatrika initiation, cannot worship Shalagram. They were like adamant. Then another point was, if one even becomes the topmost stage of knowledge and realization, Uttama Adhikari Vaishnav, such person, there are certain restrictions of rituals they can't do. And they certainly can't become an acharya. So that was their issue. And they were having issue with the Vaishnavas that were taking up these practices. And in that group, there were Brahmos, Brahmanas that had this, you know, rationalism of the West mixed in with their scriptural knowledge. So it was like a real Khitri. And then there are Vaishnavas that were just following Vaishnava practices. And, you know, dispute and tension and, you know, throwing stones back and forth, name calling. At the time that, so it reached a very intense pitch. And at the time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very ill with a fever. And he was lamenting, I can't go and present something at this. There was a meeting that was like a intellectual conference between the two sides that was being called, and a referee. So someone was from the Vaishnava side was being requested, and everyone looked to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he was not in a condition. So he spoke aloud, so Bhaktisiddhanta could hear, is there not one Vaishnava in the whole land that can make clear this issue? Is that the state of affairs today? How unfortunate. So, taking inspiration from the words of his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prepared a paper. Bhaktisiddhanta prepared a paper, which is now available. You can get it in any of our bookstores, probably here in India. Brahmanism and Vaishnavism, in two parts, where the glories of the Brahmanas are extolled. He was the lead speaker in this conference of puffy-wuffies. Big, big scholars and elderly learned personalities. Here's this 35-year-old brahmachari, the lead speaker. And strategically, he placed the glorification of brahmanas first. So the brahmanas were thinking, wow, this man knows his stuff. Listen to all the references he's making. Whoa, smart guy. Powerful. Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Then some other speakers, and then the other side. However, the position of Vaishnava is actually the culmination of qualification of a brahmana, because a brahmana means to know Brahman, and one who knows Brahman knows the personality of Godhead, and one knows the personality of Godhead serves him. Uh-oh. That is a Vaishnav. So Vaishnava is the pinnacle of Brahmanism. And verses and verses and verses and argument and logic and conclusion, and he was the final speaker. At the end, he got a standing ovation for 15 minutes from both sides. Such powerful, brilliant personality, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had, Bhaktisiddhanta had this practice that he would not allow people to touch his feet, so the police got like a circle around him and were escorting him out of the assembly. And it was like a riot because everyone wanted to touch his feet. And it became, they couldn't control the crowd. So finally the police got a pail, stuck his foot in the water, and then distributed the water as they escorted him out the side door. Thirty-five-year-old brahmachari. Young man. But a ray of Vishnu. And his preaching mission, likewise, was that of a great reformer. At the same time, catch this balance. He was a reformer, but at the same time, a very strong component of his preaching platform was the commonality between the various sampradayas. There are differences between the sampradayas, and there's sameness amongst the sampradayas, and he emphasized the sameness, while he knew very well the differences. When you visit Chaitanya Math, where Bhaktisiddhanta made his headquarters, now it's much more developed, but when Bhaktisiddhanta was there, it was up higher at four corners of a little mandir. He had the four murtis of the four sampradaya acharyas. And this was like a theme message. The commonality. He wanted to bring the four sampradayas more to a position of harmony and thereby strength. Because the opposition is not amongst the sampradayas. The opposition is the deviations and craziness of material consciousness. The degraded state of affairs and increasingly further degrading condition of society. So he traveled, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, traveled extensively throughout India. So many notable things. He was a great innovator in using mechanization. Remember one time, long, long ago, 74, 75, visiting in Vrindavan in one temple, he had this Pastimes of Krishna exhibit. And it was really rudimentary, you know, as far as technology is concerned, but it was little figures about this tall on a terrain of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill. And so there was, you know, the guy running the machine would, it had chains underneath. You could hear the chains rattle and clank, and you turn a handle, and Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys, they go out to herd the cows, and then they climb Govardhan Hill, and Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill. The gopis come, and that's the end of the show, and they have to wind it back, and Krishna goes back, and the cows go back, and the cowherd boys go back, and Govardhan Hill goes back down again. And okay, next show, crank it. And think of a visual image. So many of you are skilled in technology of some fields. How to use that technology to bring the message of Krishna to the world. I have a picture on my wall in my office in New York with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sitting in a convertible car in Vrindavan. Now, at the time, sannyasis are not supposed to ride in conveyances, right? Especially not in Dham. Not just a car, but a convertible. Sitting very straight. With his assistant next to him. Driving the car right through Loy Bazaar and, you know. What's the message? Yukta Vairagya. In service to Krishna. When he would perform Brajmandal Parikrama, and Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, he went with elephants. Like, you know, thousands of people. Just bring attention to the glories of the personality, not to himself, but to the personality of Godhead. Profusely printing and distributing literature of the previous acharyas, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, translating things into different languages of India and having them printed and distributed profusely. And he was so happy to see literatures being distributed. Prabhupada would tell that the brahmacharis would go out and they have some magazine or some newspaper and they report five newspapers. Oh, very good. Encouraging, whatever, to give this message. Very, very powerful. One time he was challenged to speak on, I forget exactly what the challenge was, some discussion about, you know, the limitation of spiritual knowledge, something like that. I can't recall exactly. In Dhaka, he spoke on one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam for 30 days, every day. And didn't repeat himself. The first verse of first canto Bhagavatam. Here, in Puri, a very famous speech just towards the end of his life, there's a temple, a Gaudiya Math temple near Chatak Parvat. And he described the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in separation from Krishna. And while speaking very powerfully, he lost external consciousness in a deep mood of meditation on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotion. That experience Prabhupada also showed. And he left the world here in, he went to Calcutta, understanding that he would soon leave the world. His final instructions are embedded with messages for his disciples to abandon pride, abandon attachments to worldly position, because he understood that deep thing in the heart is there. Uproot it. Cast it far away in order to receive this message of Rupa and Raghunath. And he gave his blessings to something like to all those who are near and those who are far away. I give my blessings that you may receive the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within your hearts. So with such a blessing, we then have access. He wanted like that. We should want what he wants. It's such a nice thing to want. So when we visit his place, we won't have time nor space for this kind of katha. But we can offer our prayers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to be inspired by his example and recipients of the blessing that he wanted to give. And to become recipients of that blessing, we have to make our hearts fit and pure as he did, to purify our heart to receive the empowerment, to become qualified preachers, transparent in our hearts and our desires, simply to serve, simply to bring appreciation and shelter to those who have no shelter at present. And it's painful to the hearts of the Vaishnavas to know that. So let us collectively make that prayer to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And surely such a great Vaishnava will be happy to give his blessings, provided we're eager to receive and properly represent those blessings. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura Prabhupāda ki jai.